All right, well, we made it. Madden NFL 17 is here. So what we're going to do in this episode of the Press Row Podcast presented by Hit the Pass is just kind of talk about what has jumped out at us the most with Madden NFL 17 so far. I'm your host, Brian Weed, Pasta Padre. With me for this episode, we have Owen Good from Polygon, TJ Lowerman, a.k.a. That Sports Gamer, and Rich Grisham of Out of Park Developments. So just what has the game delivered on? Where has it maybe faltered? What are some of the pleasant surprises we've found or any frustrations and issues that have been encountered? We're going to break down the game in far greater detail on our review roundtable show next week. We're going to have a big panel for that to discuss pretty much everything there is about Madden this year. In the meantime, though, we wanted to talk about our early experiences with the game. So I'm going to start with TJ, who... The two of us, TJ, we renewed our rivalry with a draft championship game last night. And as always is the case with every single game we play, it was intense throughout, down to the wire, and filled with drama. TJ, how much did you enjoy that game? Let's not talk about the outcome.
Well, we can't talk about the outcome. We can't talk about my enjoyment without the outcome.
Oh, yeah. Because the outcome was determined in the final, like, 3 seconds, so...
Yeah, my phenomenal passing game was just too much for you, I guess.
You had one opportunity for a pass, and yes, you. I was in a bad play. I didn't have any timeouts left, and I was in trouble, and you took good advantage of it, got in field goal range, kicked the winning field goal. But how we got there was maybe even more interesting, because I scored a touchdown with 15 seconds left, okay? Touchdown pass, take the lead, 9-7. Line up for an extra point, which in Madden is 100%, right? Not anymore. Shanked it left. And this is draft champions with draft champions, one of the things is you don't get to draft a kicker. They don't give you the option. They probably should now. So I ended up with a kicker who was rated 74, but the key here is that he had only 82 in accuracy, which sounds good, but I went and checked, and that would make him the 43rd ranked kicker in terms of accuracy based on the base roster. So I didn't even miss on the meter that much. I've made kicks like that with better kickers from the same spot on the meter. And it was a
You
miss.
Missed kind of far on the meter.
It wasn't.
Gonna
it
really Brian,
wasn't.
Are you taking your claim to the court of arbitration for sport?
No, I don't mind that I missed. I think it's great. I thought it added something to the experience that we had, added something to the game. But yeah, this is my argument for why Draft Champions needs kickers now. Because accuracy, for the first time maybe in the history of Madden, actually matters for kickers. It's amazing. And this is just among the many things about special teams that have made Madden better this year.
Huh. I mean, I agree that you need to have some kind of meaning in the kicking game, but wow. You missed an extra point, Brian.
I know.
You missed an extra point.
I know. Believe me, this just adds to the lore of the
You want to draft a kicker. I mean, are you like the Raiders or something? I mean,
I don't know if I would draft a kicker. I just think we should have the option. You don't get, they don't offer you kickers or punters and no one would ever take a punter for.
You know what's funny is when I began my first franchise, and I am an inveterate restarter of franchises, but when I began my first, there was a kicker on my practice team, you know, the practice squad, which is new this year. And I was like, why? You know, first of all, why would we warehouse anybody there? Secondly, I mean, you know, every time I read about even if somebody gets injured in real life and somebody has to go fish someone out of, you know, it's always out of retirement. Somebody sitting at his home. So I mean, even if you offered kicking and punting as a draft option in draft champions, I can't imagine anyone playing it. I mean, or taking that option, excuse me.
You just want a round of special teams players?
Well, you could do well, but then everybody would have good special teams. I think the interesting thing about it would be it's a strategy, Owen. So, I mean, look, TJ ended up, I think, drafting a guy who ended up being useless for him because he didn't fit anywhere. He had already drafted at that position, didn't really have a much better option. I think TJ would have preferred a kicker over a bench guy. So I mean,
but did TJ lose the game because his kicker was bad?
No, my kicker had no problem hitting that game-winning field goal.
You did.
Then it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Brian, also, there's a little motto I think you should learn. It's mm-hmm. called "Make plays, not excuses."
Ooh, pal!
I think I'm gonna go make a T-shirt right now that says "Make plays, not excuses." Yeah.
I don't care that I lost. I thought it was really fun, and
it was a great game.
And
as
this
always.
is what I really like about Madden this year, is. In every game I've played, I think either something has happened that I've never seen before, or I've heard something that I've never heard before. There's an mm-hmm. unpredictability to the game this year, which I think has been lacking a lot in the Madden franchise. And that game right there is a great example of it. I lost, but it might go down as one of my most memorable games of Madden 17.
I can't speak to human competition, but I feel the same about my offline play, in that it's been tighter and intenser. I mean, I believe that.
Oh, the
it's
CPU? Been real thrill. Yeah, the CPU is far more competent. I mean, I posted some GIFs of Jamal Charles just making me look foolish, juking me out of my shoes on defense. You have to
I saw that.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that, you know, the CPU generally, you'd be like, okay, anytime they run, I'm going to stop them. You know, they're wasting a down when the CPU is running. That's not the case anymore, especially with the good running backs.
But is that because you're playing old Madden? Because the way I feel about run defense is, it's like, okay, I know I'm bad at defense, but I also feel like I've got a run-stopping defense that has my back now. Maybe it's the team that I'm playing with. But if I go and do my job, obviously, you know, the old Patriots credo, I'm not going to be so bad. Now, where I get made foolish is on passing plays, particularly to the flat. But it's like it's strange to talk about gap assignments as something that is valuable to both the offense and the defense, because the value on the defense is, it's like, I know I've got people out there who have my back. And on the offense, it's like, I know that as soon as someone seals a running lane, they're there. Mm-hmm. They're not going to go there and then veer off and teleport across the map the way you would see in previous editions and hunt you down from behind. So, you know, the running plays a lot truer. I don't know. I feel like the defense is more enjoyable this year because, I feel more educated about it. Mm-hmm. But secondly, I think the consequences are a little bit more real. And Jamal Charles, yeah, I mean, obviously, if you're going up against an elite runner, or, you know, somebody who knows what he's doing in the league, you can be made to look like an idiot. And maybe it's because I've been so focused on play the moment, which I know we'll get into. And play the moment, and I know we'll get into this. You play that on offense more than you play it on defense, like almost 2-1 in my experience.
Yeah.
So
well,
I have
really, playing offense is fun and playing defense is not.
Right, except for the fact that this year it's actually kind of okay. Mm-hmm. Defense, and so maybe that's where my lack of familiarity of what you're talking about is coming in, because probably you've played more full games than I have. But, you know, I think that this is, you know, they send out the review guide every year and they say, we've done this and we've done that. And you go, yeah, great. But I really do think that with the artificial intelligence that they put into something, when they took defense and they made it conceptual rather than running a single play, which is important, because in the NFL, they don't go in and go cover two robber. They don't call that in a huddle.
Right.
They have a scheme. They have a, you know, this is what we think they're going to do. This is our concept on this particular play. And you know, things like gap assignments are part of that. I think it plays truer. And I've had a lot of fun with it. I don't know.
You know, you mentioned kind of learning the defense, or, you know, one thing that stood out to me, and this was in commentary, was, They did, when they announced the new commentary team, they said, EA said that one of the kind of pillars of what they wanted to do with commentary is teach, And so I noticed one example today. I was playing a game and I was in a, you know, a soft zone coverage, and the CPU quarterback had all the time in the world, found an open man, got a first down. And then they went into talking about how when the quarterback has that much time against zone coverage, they're going to find an open guy. You should, and that team should maybe start zone blitzing. So I think that's an interesting angle they're going at also for defense there, Rich, is that, hey, if you're struggling, not only have we given you kind of plays to counter what the opponent is doing, but now the commentary team is even going to make suggestions in a sense of, if this is happening, here's, you know, an adjustment you might want to consider.
Well, you're right, and I think that reflects ways that this game is a very mature product, and I mean that in a complimentary way. This is a pretty darn well-tuned machine now, and that's allowed them to do some of those other things which we have given them plenty of a beef about in years past, which is, you know, helping people understand the game, helping them understand what different kinds of things to do in different kinds of situations. They've really done a lot in that direction, and I think that's only possible because there's a lot of other fundamentals that they feel that they have addressed. And I also get the feeling from a maturity standpoint that, you know, especially knowing that FIFA is going to the Frostbite engine, I get the feeling that Madden is next on that list.
Yeah.
And so that's another reflection of sort of this year's game. And again, I don't mean that in a negative way, because I'm thoroughly enjoying the game in the way that I play it, which is limited. But I also didn't review it this year for a Metacritic site, which has been very freeing in that I don't have to force myself to play other modes of the game that I know I don't enjoy. And I've been able to focus just on preparing for our upcoming Press Row podcast season, which is, you know, once that gets going, that's what I do. A couple games a week, every week against my friends in a persistent online football universe that goes for 3 or 4 seasons. It continues to be by far my favorite way to play sports games in this console generation.
Yeah, so who has spent time in franchise now that Rich brings up franchise?
Well, I have. I mean, I don't know that I'm not like, I haven't gone 20 years into the future or anything.
Come on. Oh, and you got to do that. I need to know about progression and regression. I need to know about draft classes for 15 years from now. And I need to know about their stats.
The thing that I've seen with Madden and its franchise over the year is they add a lot of sophisticated things to franchise that people ask for. And they do a good job at them. They do a reasonably good job at them. But there's an enormous, it just adds to the time spend that you can put in.
Yes.
And when so much of it is, you know, in a menu, it seems chore-like. And, you know, this year, I don't want to put it all on Play the Moment, but I do feel like, oh, well, I didn't notice that before. And it's because I'm sort of invited to pick the best parts of the year and go through those, and, you know, the other stuff, you know, let the game take care of it. But I see, you know, scouting is something that was a little more gratifying to me. It's a lot more, you know, when you plug in and you go, what actually really are my needs? Okay. And the menus are still kind of about surfacing what you really do need, especially when you're trading. You know, I would love to just be able to go, I have, you know, Trey Mason. I want to get rid of him. And I need value for him. And I don't really care who I get. I want value for him because he's unhappy and I'm unhappy. Did I get his last name right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the Rams running back, right?
Yeah, back up. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah, they've got Trey and Tavon and everything. Anyway.
Todd.
Yeah, and Todd. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Yeah. But seriously though, when you have a valuable player who you have no use for him, you want to get rid of him, where do I shop him? You've got to go through all 31 other teams to see if any of them are looking for a halfback, which none are, because I mean, goodness gracious, they're like the closing relief pitchers of football.
It's like real life. People just draft them. They just draft them.
It is realistic in that way. But let's say I had, you know, a 79 rated left tackle who had been supplanted by somebody I either acquired in free agency or developed or drafted, even, I don't know. And you know, that's valuable to someone. I wouldn't know how to get a left tackle and just say, what's your best offer? I mean, the trade block is kind of not really, you know, useful. Actually, I don't know that there is a trade block. I like free agency. And I like negotiations, you know, mid-season, the signing conversations. I think that's a little more dynamic. But I also think that when they come in and they go, fair offer is 4 years, and it's always 4 years, and, you know, however many million, and this is the signing bonus. You know, I go, well, I'm not going to commit. You're 33 years old. I'm not going to commit to 4 years on you. And then they go, no part of this offer is acceptable. And so I go, well, then why don't I just button through this? Either I'm going to release you, or I just re-sign you, or whatever your terms are. I've really kind of gone off message here. Actually, the reason – no, let me get back to it. The reason that I am discussing these experiences with such specificity is because in the past with Madden – I felt like I was missing out if I wasn't playing all of the games. And now I don't really feel that way, because I feel like I can be served meaningful experiences thanks to, you know, Play the Moment, or, you know, the few games where it's like a big rivalry game and I want to play all of it. And I'm not missing out anything if I choose, you know, to skip or sim to the end. And then I spend a lot of my time, you know, managing my roster and understanding and appreciating the intrigue of what is the most American sport ever, both in how it's played and how it's run as a business.
You know, it's, and they really have done a nice job in allowing people to continue to experiment with the way they play the game. Just like you said, Owen, and like I've talked about, you know, thanks to MLB giving you options to do like player lock and things like that. Like, I'm able to play a meaningful 162 game season in MLB The Show in 1/10 of the time that it used to take me, but yet I still feel completely involved in everything meaningful that happens. And so it's really good to be able to do that. Obviously, in our online league, that's not going to be an option. So I haven't been too, actually, when I first got it, Play the Moment to me wasn't even interesting, because I'm like, we're never going to use that, you know, in an online league, you know, because we're always going to be playing against people. But as I've been doing some prep for the league, and I have done it, I have been surprisingly happy with it. It's not that different than options you've had in the past.
It's a fancier super sim.
But it's a better way, and a better way of doing something that I use, because, you know, when I don't play, when I'm playing somebody online, obviously you don't have the option to not play defense. But when I'm playing the computer, I almost always sim through the defense, because it's just, I don't feel like I make anything happen. I feel like a liability, actually, when I'm playing defense. So I just skip it. You know, I've always sort of messed around with those kinds of options. But to have it sort of executed for you with some intelligence is much more enjoyable than I thought. Of course, you know, it's funny, as you play it, you're always impressed by the things that are new, and then, or not always impressed, but often impressed. But then things also remind you that, oh yes, this is still, you know, a big, you know, huge monolith of a game that they can't do everything every year. And of course, in my franchise, Sam Bradford broke his ribs early in the season.
It's really sad.
And as he lay writhing on the ground, he just laid writhing on the ground. All his teammates sort of stood, you know, like in the huddle, waiting for whenever somebody was going to come in there to come on in, as he just, you know, rolled around. And it's funny, you know, in its absurdity. So, like, you know, there's still those kind of things happen too, but. You know, but the franchise, you know, you asked about the franchise. The one thing that has really sort of thrown me for a loop is the change up to a degree of the preparation. I kind of got, I don't know if it was good, but I got really used to the preparation last year and what I liked to do. And that's been changed.
This is supposed to give you actual benefits in your games.
Agreed.
Yeah. That's
and so I understand it. I don't think I like it, but I understand it. But that's more of a personal preference than anything else. You don't have to do any of those trainings. You can go right to the game. But I always got stuff out of the training last year, a little XP, a little confidence boost. And it doesn't seem like I have that same way to just, simulate, or say, okay, go practice this thing or go focus on this stuff and just hit the button. And then the players get the simulated, XP or confidence as opposed to having to go through the practice. I get it, but
you have to earn the badge first, right? And then you can simulate XP gain of silver or gold, right?
Yeah. You have to do this scrimmage type, thing. And then
you have to do it at least once.
I don't want to. I mean, I know I'm supposed to want to, but I don't.
I mean, not to quibble with you. I mean, and Rich, I think you're a better player at Madden than I am, but I have found it, helpful. The pregame, or excuse me, the early week or midweek preparation, when it says, okay, well, here's the concept and it makes sense and you should, deploy it against the 49ers or whatever because they do this. And I go, okay, I'm going to run, I'm going to see what the stick concept looks like. And that's where this guy goes to the flat and this guy, goes in this direction. And if the cover guy goes in that direction, you need to throw it here and et cetera. Exactly.
Oh, it's good. I and get it. I'm so ADD, I want to play the game.
Well, true, but I think it's very educational, and I really appreciate that they're doing this, for me. And when it comes back up, it's like, oh, I should run that play. Now, the one thing, however, that I will agree with you on is sometimes the choices that they, when they say, here is your suggested game plan, and you have Seattle coming up, and it says, they run we need to attack the cover too because they, use it 12% of the time or something. I mean, I'm speaking out of my head here. That's like what? That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Some of these suggestions just seem completely randomized. Now, I understand that, if somebody runs something only in a limited amount of times, when it happens and you exploit it, you might be able to hit it for a big play, but the game doesn't make that apparent. So I'm in there and I'm going, okay, do they run? They run it 55% of the time. I'm going to contain their outside run. And that's a very easy drill to gold, by the way. Do they play, cover three? I'm going to find the pass play in that menu, that exploits that the best and train on that. Because as obviously you guys know, when you play a franchise game, if you come up against in those situations you call those plays, you get an attribute bonus to everybody on the field.
So how about the in-game stuff within franchise? I'm curious, the big moments that they added this year.
I like it. Supposed
to tie in with it. Now, I've done a few things with big moments, gone into games, not heard it acknowledged. I made a trade for a backup quarterback. I thought they might mention the trade. They didn't. Have you had anything in the big moments tie into your actual games?
No.
Well, I was going to say my big moment was Bradford getting his ribs broken.
Oh, right,
and
right.
that was should have been much more eventful than it was. Then they did a nice job of, there's a little graphic that comes up when you have a serious injury, or not even a serious injury. When Wentz, his replacement, came in, there was a little graphic over his head that said injury, Bradford, replacement Wentz. And then about, I don't know, 8 or 9 plays later, a little graphic came up on the Eagles' rookie draft class, and it listed all of their rookies, which was new and interesting. And what I don't know is that was that strategically placed there because now you had a rookie quarterback, or would that have shown up anyway? It was like week three or something, so it wasn't.
I've seen it. I've had my draft class shown to me repeatedly.
So there you go. Okay.
But I will say I had Jared Goff. I started with Rams. I'm sorry because I wanted to see what Los Angeles Coliseum looked like in the game. He had two touchdowns in his first game, I think. And they mentioned, you know, big debut for the, you know, number one draft pick or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was, you know, I mean, but it was so subtle. That's the thing.
Yes. And that's a sign of that maturity.
It has to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it also, you know, the big moments still don't quite, you know, necessarily stand out. But they don't necessarily do that in other games as well. But football is much more of a emotional roller coaster, play to play, minute to minute.
And it's 16 games, so you're expecting analysis everything. Of everything, right?
Everything is 10 times more important per game than any other of major sports.
The real test of this kind of big moment promise is going to be you're in your second or third season, and they're playing. You're playing a team that you faced in a Super Bowl in a preceding season, and they mention that. Mm-hmm. That would be, to me, what the purpose of that is, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and so commentary is obviously a big deal this year, and we've mentioned it a few times already, but I'd like to talk about it a little more deeply, just for a few minutes here. And that's so there's new commentary team, Brandon Godden, Charles Davis, replacing Jim Nance, Phil Simms, thankfully, and they are really good. I think they're really good. Now, the weird thing is I've seen reviews where people have kind of derided the commentary, and I don't understand that. But there was also a review that said, thankfully, EA gave new lines to Nance and Simms. So I'm not sure how well people in general pay attention. Yeah. And analyze commentary. But I think it's really good. Like I said earlier, they're giving you relevant information. They're giving you specifics on what's taking place. They're interrupting each other when something happens.
They're arguing with each other.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can tell.
Why play succeeded.
Yeah, so you can tell they recorded together. And then they're already updating commentary. Already there's an update out for commentary where the two of them We'll just kind of at a slow point during the game, they'll bring up something that's happening in the real world. And that's, you know, a couple examples today. They talked about how the Ravens stopped the game to watch Michael Phelps swim. They talked about the rookie quarterbacks in week one of the preseason and how they did. They talked about who got injured in week one of the preseason. They talked about just like the stuff that's recently happened, and they're going to keep doing that throughout the year, I think is really, really cool. And I have a couple examples of that up now. But that's going to be something I follow all season. I think that's awesome. Now, that real world stuff apparently will only apply to like the exhibition games and the online games. Franchise mode, for example, Ultimate Team, they're going to get more commentary too added. But it's not necessarily going to be that specific stuff. It's just going to be, you know, building out the commentary library a little better. But I think the commentary is really, for a first year, it's brilliant for a first year of commentary.
This is going to sound like damnation by faint praise, but I mean it. The reason I think this year's commentary is better is because a routine play actually sounds like a routine play. And in the past, you would have, you know, these establishment voices.
Gus Johnson. Who,
well, yeah, but they, yeah, whoever the moment, excuse me, the voice of the moment was, they would respond to things. And whether it was, you know, them themselves or just, you know, an engine that was poorly serving them, you know, it always, Madden would just crank up the volume on everything. And if you're, there are times, and I swear to God, it sounds like I'm backhanding Godden, but you know, there are times when he is as background of announcer of an announcer as I would expect from someone supplying a radio call for Georgia Tech, which is what he does in real life. Mm-hmm. You know, and you tune in when he wants to get your attention. And you know, there's a lot of other things that are going on. I'm obviously going through my playbook. I'm going, oh shit, you know, did I, you know, am I using the right, you know, offensive concept here or something like that. And so I'm not really listening to the banter with him and Davis. Davis is a little laid back, but he will come in and talk in, you know, about what he has virtually seen on the field to try to describe its success, but it's in a little expansive way, such that you really need to be listening to the whole clip, you know, to get its point. And I think these are all sort of pointillistic critiques of broadcaster style. It is much better than Nance and Sims, who I actually don't mind in real life, but in Madden, Nance just, you know, he sounded like a poor impersonation of himself. I mean, he sounded like a nightclub act impersonating Jim Nance, and he's Jim Nance. How crazy is that?
And Sims would frequently just call you an idiot.
Well, yeah.
For your play calling or whatever.
Well, it was kind of rude when he did that by name. I was like, wow, he called Owen Goode an idiot. That's just not right.
You know, there's a funny story. My God, who was it? Tannehill down in Miami, right? They were showing the game to him. Oh. And they were like, hey, you know, here you're in Madden, and here's CBS's A team calling you and saying what you are. And he runs out on the field, and Phil Sims goes, you know, Jim, the problem with Ryan Tannehill is he's just not any good. And he's sitting there in the room, and everybody's just red faced, like, why the hell did our game just say that? So,
that's the best.
But. You know, I guess the point of that anecdote, aside from just being funny as hell, is Madden is less hot takey, which we could all stand to see in sports across all forms of media, especially video games. You know, we don't have to emulate stupid hot takes on television to have a believable and enjoyable broadcast experience. I really like the pairing. I think they have an obvious and natural chemistry. I think they have a rapport that when they say specific things, I listen to that and I go, huh. And later I refer back to it and go, these guys like each other. And that's important. Sometimes, like, you know, they have some tonal inflections I don't like, but Jesus, I'm not a broadcaster. I think it's a lot better.
TJ, special teams, right? We already had one example of special teams affecting a game. You know, have you seen any blocked kicks, blocked punts, trick plays, some of the new stuff they added this year? Has any of this factored in, or even just the kicking and punting mechanics? Has that changed the way you approach things?
Well, there was one jerk that I played online in a Draft Champions game who did want to do a fake field goal. That didn't work out too well for him. Then he lost that game 9-7 because I had a great play at the end.
Yeah, that was me. That jerk was me.
And his kicker choked.
I just wanted to try it, and I had him open. I couldn't get the ball out. I hit the wrong button. We're using Xbox. We're not used to Xbox.
Yeah, I like the new kick meter. You know, it's a new year, a new Madden, a new kick meter, which is kind of how it used to go. I feel like they kind of stuck with the last one for, you know, like 2 years, which was a record.
Kind of like NBA 2K.
Yeah, I actually like the new kick meter. Actually, I felt very comfortable with it, having played MLB The Show with meter pitching. Mm-hmm. It's essentially the same thing, or literally any golf game in the last 25, 30 years. And I like the new punt stuff where you can do the sky high punts or put the backspin on the ball.
Yes, I had a CPU drop a punt at the 5 and it bounced straight up, and then landed and just settled there. That was awesome. Instead of just every punt going into the end zone.
Yeah, that was great.
And last year you had to just aim every punt into the corner because you didn't expect any of that stuff to happen. So that's a real nice addition this year. I would like to see more blocking, I guess. though I feel like it doesn't happen a ton in real life, so
yeah, maybe you might
shouldn't
see,
happen a ton here.
Yeah,
but
you might see, you know, each team maybe gets one or two in a season. So if you look at it at those percentages, I think I might be doing something wrong because I'm not even getting close. I'm gonna have to look into that more. But
but I think that also might be like when you know you play the tutorials, right?
No.
You know, and
that's probably a good suggestion though. But with EA, well, like we're working off EA Access here, Owen. Unlike you with the special review copy,
you know, that's
we
a good
have
point.
Limited time to do
that's
this.
That's a good stuff. Point. You know, it's another reason that I want to just get to the game is because I have been playing it on the trial, and it is a time trial. I'm like, I don't care. I just want to play the game. Come on, move, move.
Yeah, no, opening on cinematic.
Go to that thing with the Rams and the Redskins. Yeah. And by the way, I love that the Redskins are the opponent because that is such a Redskins way to lose. It's so. Have you guys played this?
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it. I just want to make sure that's a part of it.
Yeah, it was really funny that I scored with 2 minutes and 43 seconds left.
Yeah, yeah, the game.
And the game ended.
Yeah. You throw a Hail Mary right there. Pow.
If only that happened in our game, TJ. I scored, it just ended.
But
it should have been.
But it. When you play the tutorial and they say, here's how we have made special teams defense, you know, better. You know, here, jump the snap and do this and come in and press X. And dive on the ball and et cetera. You know, you're doing it with like a 99 speed rated edge rusher in an actual game. You know, the guys on the special teams are the guys who are not starting usually, you know, somewhere else on the field. You know, they're slow as hell. So I think Madden kind of might set a false expectation that like, wow, special teams are a lot more dynamic this year. Where they really aren't because it's still a kind of a skills dependent thing.
Mm-hmm. I like that it's possible, right? Just again, I go back to unpredictability, things you can't just count on nailing a kick every time, every 55 yard kick, you know, you can't count.
Oh, I've had a lot of tightrope acts. I mean, mm-hmm. Seriously, I kicked 3 55 yard field goals in a game, in like week 3 against Seattle. And was like, I want to go out and buy myself a drink. I mean, it was big.
Yeah, well, that's great. I mean, there shouldn't be stuff you do in these games that are hard in real life that you don't feel like you achieve something in the game, right? Like kicking a 59-yard field goal in a video game in Madden has, for kickers with enough kick power to do it, has been, you know, it's not a big deal. You're like, you get to the 40 and you're like, okay, I'm in field goal range, you know, like now you have to actually think about field position. You have to think about, well, instead of going for the first down, maybe I just try to get 5 here to make it an easier field goal. I love that. It adds to the strategy and all that. So special teams, you know, I've been talking about for a decade. I'm really happy that's been addressed here.
There is, however, one major special teams letdown.
What's that?
There is no fair catch kick.
When's the last time that was attempted in the NFL?
Actually, it was attempted, I think, twice in 2013 or 2012.
I don't remember that.
Although the last time it ever scored was like in the 1970s. Yeah. But I've been going back and forth with Clint Oldenburg about this. And as soon as I got the game, I was like, I thought that he might have tipped me off that it was going to be in there. So I was like, I just went to play now. And I fair caught a punt, and there was nothing in the special teams. It was so sad. Yeah. Madden loved that. Madden himself loves that play. It was attempted in a playoff game between the Vikings and the 49ers in 1988. But anyway.
Yeah, I mean, so there's one example. Another one that actually happens like every week is surprise onside kicks, not in the game. But they did get stuff in like squibs are back. Although I think they patched that in last year. Or no, they didn't. They didn't patch it in. It's back. They took it out last year for some unknown reason.
And you got to look. You got to have your eyes open to find that squib kick spot.
Yeah, it's on. It's not a play you pick. It's on the screen when you're about to with a meter. So a lot of stuff in different places. But I'm really, really pleased with most of what's happening there. Got to talk some Ultimate Team, TJ. What's your first impressions of the mode this year?
You know. So far, so good. They made a lot of changes to the way that all the sets work. and that seems to be for the better. I mean, the marketplace has been open for a day and a half, 2 days now, so we'll kind of see how that all plays out. But in the past, teams would have like one big team set, where there was usually throughout the year there'd be a couple of big team sets, but they would require like specific cards. And a lot of the time there would be like super low rated golds that would actually show up in like silver packs. And because of that, they were very rare and they were always worth some ridiculous price for a card that you're never actually going to use. So this year they changed it so that rather than needing like five specific gold cards, you can just put any five of the team's gold cards in there, which is a huge upgrade in my book. The other real big thing in the solo challenge area, last year or 2 years ago, it was like you had to play full games. Last year they made it you only had to play like, it's the third quarter and there's a minute 12 left and you're up by two. Don't let this guy come back. But now it can be rush for a touchdown on the first play. And if you do that, you've completed that solo and just move on.
Well, that's great. And obviously for people who are grinding through Ultimate Team, but is it just me or are the loading times a little longer this year?
Into the games, you mean?
Into and out of. I mean, they just seem conspicuous. I don't know if they're trying to access a file from online and have a slow connection, but wow. I appreciate, and I'm sorry to talk over you guys. I appreciated the, you know, the challenges that I did. And it was like, you need to get, it was one of the preliminary things against like the Panthers, you know, 20 yards in this drive. I threw a 29 yard pass on the first play. And I spent more time loading into and out of the game than I did on the play.
It's like the issue we used to have with Road to the Show. Like, I would spend more time as a relief pitcher loading in and out of games than actually pitching.
Right. So. And I know that some loading has to take place, but I do feel like even into the main game and into the other modes, it's a little bit longer this year.
It's a little longer, but they did add the hold A to skip this year, which allows you to skip a lot of stuff you couldn't last year. One of my favorite things about the game.
Yeah, you can skip that preamble, and I don't mean to, crap on Larry Ridley, you know, pregame doesn't do a lot. The mid-game doesn't do a lot either.
Right, halftime. You can also skip things like the quarterbacks coming out on the field and the graphic they throw up and stuff. You can skip pretty much everything within the game. So I'm not really bothered too much by the loading times into the game, although maybe I'll go and time it and see how it compares to last year. But I can see your issue, Owen, with going in and out of those things in Ultimate Team that might take just a minute to complete.
Yeah, and I didn't mean to derail that. To get back to TJ, I have a question a little bit about chemistry and how it works this year in Ultimate Team, because I'm not an expert on this and I'm not really sure that I know what I'm looking at. Has that changed meaningfully, or am I just looking at it in a different an uninformed way?
Yeah, they've changed it a whole bunch, but I haven't had a ton of time to dive into it. Last year, I think there were eight different, I forget what they were called last year, like play styles. Now they're chemistries. And I think you can have like multiple running at the same time, but I haven't really dug into that super deep yet. Again, we only have 10 hours, unlike you with your special disc, to be able to do everything.
You know, the resentful underclass here sniping at me. I don't deserve this.
Hey, man, I even opened 1,000 packs in Madden 16. I didn't get my, didn't win a copy in Mutt Rewards, so.
Oh, boy.
God, I feel like such trash. Go ahead.
TJ, we've talked about this before. You know, I've expressed my belief that Madden Ultimate Team, FIFA Ultimate Team in particular, those two, they're really overwhelming and not completely friendly to people who haven't been playing the modes. And that compares to Diamond Dynasty and the show, where I feel like it's really pretty accessible to anyone who's new. It's pretty straightforward. It's deep, but you can understand everything that's going on. You kind of have an idea of what you should be doing. I go into Madden Ultimate Team, and it's just a mess of menus, and I'm like, I don't know what really is like the best course of action to take. I don't know, like how all these different things work together. I mean, is it continuing to bloat in that sense? Is it getting worse in that regard? Or is it, I mean, because they have to add stuff every year to justify people starting over again. I feel like it's going to reach a point where these Ultimate Team modes just get too big for their own good. I don't know. Do you feel that happening, or is this stuff, or are they starting to refine that stuff in a sense?
I feel it kind of happening this year, because this is the first year now that they have your standard Ultimate Team. Then they also have the Draft Champions, which they came out with last year, mm-hmm. and then the salary cap stuff that they mm-hmm. patched in last year. It just seems like a lot right now, because you're going to have your, in theory, you're going to have your main team that you're going to use for Redhead Online. But then you're going to also want to build a team if you want to play the ranked salary cap mode stuff, mm-hmm. not to mention doing the drafts and everything for Draft Champions, which you can now play a friend in, which is nice that we were able to do that.
Yeah, that was cool.
But so I think there's ranked Draft Champions, unranked Draft Champions, and play a friend Draft Champions. So you can have three games there. You can have three different teams there.
Yeah, it's all different.
Then you
teams.
Probably have a main team. Yeah. Then you probably have a main team, and then you probably have a salary cap team. So it feels like it's getting a little. There's a lot to do. There used to be there wasn't that much, and now there might be there's too much.
Yeah. I was wondering about stuff that maybe hasn't pleased us so far with the game. I'm just going to rattle off a few things. You guys can jump in when you want. There's a bug right now. It's going to get patched soon. Allows you to tell if your opponent is going to run or pass. That's obviously a major issue. But I would expect that to be taken care of within the next.
I am ashamed that I haven't noticed that. I mean,
yeah.
That is...
Yeah. Hopefully not many people do. because it's against the computer and against people online. So that's, you know, last year Madden came out, had all sorts of issues. It had the problem with the CPU jumping off sides, like every four plays, they had to patch immediately. So I think the game is a lot cleaner this year, bug-wise, but that's a big one they have to take care of right away. To me, you know, the challenge system is still messed up. In the game with TJ, I threw a lob to Fitzgerald in the end zone. It was deflected off of him into the hands of one of his defenders who came down, and it was you could not tell whether he got his feet in or not.
Even I mean, I could replay, tell it was an amazing play, but
it was a great play, but. In real life, every scoring play is challenged if it's close. Every turnover is challenged if it's close. We got no challenge. I got no challenge. It turns out he did get his feet in, but there's no way you could have told, you could have been able to tell that at first. So,
well, but Brian,
what if they got it right? Do you really want to go sit through that whole challenge thing?
Yes.
But it's also not even that. It's like, you know, the game is already decided. It's going to have to go through the charade of showing you its work. They're trying to streamline things. You were playing online against TJ, right?
Well,
yeah, just trying to get you to the end of the game.
Well, challenges online, when you actually have legitimate, when they actually have challenges happen, it's not like offline where it goes to a cutscene with the refs going to look at the display and having a discussion and stuff like that. It just pops up, the play is being challenged, and 1 second later it says reversed or confirmed. You know, that's all I wanted.
Okay.
I didn't know. You know, it looked to me like he wasn't in bounds, and so you feel kind of gypped, even if it turns out that he was. You just want confirmation of that, I think. And that's, again, goes back to authenticity of the league, in that you do have challenges automatic instead of the two, TJ and I, trying to see if I could pause and challenge it myself, which, you know, in real life you can't in those situations. I couldn't even pause being on defense at that point. So that's just, you know, something that's been an issue in the game for a long time. Celebrations, I'm a little disappointed in player celebrations. They're all very isolated still. You know, a guy will pick off a pass. He'll do a dance on his own. Everybody else just walks off the field, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, this is an NFL licensed product, Brian. What do you think they're going to do about celebrations?
I'm not talking about obscene celebrations. I'm talking about teammates coming over and congratulating the guy kind of thing, or, you know,
I agree. And to add to your point, I see a lot of crowd sequences where three and four people are in the exact same animation. Mm-hmm. And when you see that, that's not good. Yep. Yes, I agree with that.
And let's see. I mean, that this is the thing. It's like, I really like the game this year. When it's those type of things that I'm talking about, that I'd like to see improved upon, you know, that and surprise onside kicks and so on and so on. I think that's a good sign for the game that I'm talking about these things instead of, you know, fundamental gameplay problems or whatever it might be. This is the game has got, I think Madden's gotten to the point where you can start talking about these outside things to enhance the experience instead of how do you fix the game. And that's just my sense of the game this year. Curious what you guys think needs to be improved upon just based on your time with it so far and the sense you have of, you know, how the game's shaping up.
I have reactions, but we haven't heard from Rich in a while, so I want to shut him out. Rich?
Well, I mean, this is not the first time I've mentioned it. To be sure, I don't like penalties, and the penalties are worse this year. And I know that everyone says you can turn them off, but not in our online league. It just, I don't like them. They're not fun. And I know they're sim. I get it. I completely get it. I'm just, it's annoying to at least twice a game on a third down and six when I get 10 to have a holding penalty called, and it's happening more. But I get it.
You need
it.
To get offensive linemen, Rich. Trade for offensive linemen who have the disciplined trait.
Foot speed. Penalties.
That's the other thing. That's the other thing. With and again, I like this game a lot. So these criticisms are nitpicky or certainly not enough to where I'm still not going to enjoy the game. But it's impossible to improve your team. Like, there's no free agents that are available. Making trades are very difficult. And if you do make a trade, you're going to weaken yourself in such another area. And that's the real world. I get it too. You know what I mean? But like, you're given the, in franchise mode anyway, you're given these goals, like improve your team, improve your team. And you look, and anybody who's any good is on another team. So that's another thing that's just, you know, it's not particularly, you know, not something that I get a kick out of, especially because there's such a focus on it. Like, I'm fine just sort of going to war with the guys I have, and as injuries happen, just, you know, having the guy who stinks below him, you know, get up there. But they're like, go get, improve your team, make it better, and there's nobody out there. So, but, you know, again, these are small things in a game that I overall like a whole lot.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the NFL is, it's not like the NHL or Major League Baseball that you have a lot of transactions midseason.
Yeah, right. I'm sorry, Rowan. I was just going to say it's more roster churn, bottom of the roster guys replacing injured guys. You don't see a lot of trades, especially during the year, during the season.
When Logan, defensive tackle, like tore his pec and was out for 29 weeks, I'm like, okay, I have to go get another defensive tackle, right? The best free agent tackle was an overall 69 rating. It's like, it's impossible to get excited. Even if a couple of his traits are good, he had like an 88, you know, inside, you know, power or something like that. But it's still, it's like,
Rich, that's the way it is in the league.
I know. That's my point. Like, same thing with penalties. I get that penalties happen all the time. I hate a stupid holding penalty when I'm watching a real game, and I hate them even more when they randomly impact me when I didn't do anything. I'm fine throwing an interception if I'm the idiot who throws the terrible pass into triple coverage. It's just annoying to me for no reason to have a 10-yard holding penalty called three times a game.
Then punch, you know, punch your go dashboard, quit and quit the game and reload.
No. I mean, Brian loves him. He lost an NFC title game because of one, and he defends him to this day. So I'm clearly, you know, in the wrong on this.
Here's what I'm kind of being snarky about this, and I appreciate what you're saying. And if you're going to be committed to realistic sports video, I mean, you accept penalties and injuries. And if they're served up in an unfair way, you can feel like you're getting abused. The thing that I have noticed, and it just drives me crazy, that aren't completed aren't because they're inaccurate or they're long or they're short or they're off to the side or he left somebody hung out to dry and he got hit. It's because the receivers are dropping. And I feel like the game has a thumb on the scale for that because, like, when I work through it rationally in my mind, you know, football is a violent game about exploiting the weakness of others. And Madden is trying to keep that from getting out of hand. and this is one of the ways in which it's doing it this year. So, you know, that's one of the observations I have.
Catches in traffic, you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's,
now they had to do that because the aggressive catch Y button triangle was so overpowered in last year's game. And I understand that. But now it's like you don't even get that opportunity. You know, if you're not even sitting on the trigger, you can forget about it.
Yeah. And look, I agree. I saw a lot of drop passes, particularly when players are hit after trying to secure the ball.
Right.
But I think if you watch an NFL game and if you have a guy with a high catch in traffic, he's probably going to hold on to it. And there's very few of those guys necessarily. But if you watch an NFL game and you're watching mediocre receivers and stuff, they're generally only getting the ball when they're wide, you know, clear of a guy. If they're thrown into contact, these guys are not good enough generally to hold on to it. So I think it's probably more on the realistic side, but I agree it's frustrating to make a good read, get the ball there to a guy, and it just gets knocked away.
It's frustrating in the sense that, yes, obviously on the whole, you know, someone thrown into traffic is not going to make the catch. Someone thrown in the clear is going to make the catch, but they're also playing 15-minute quarters in real life, and you're not in Madden for obvious reasons, because if you played 15-minute quarters in Madden, you'd have people scoring 100 points and losing. So it's just it's like I said, it's a game that is putting thumbs on the scale to keep it from getting out of hand, and I understand it. And I still, you know, as Rich said, I think it's a great game and it's a lot of fun. When I lose, it's gut-wrenching. It doesn't feel unfair. But in some of the routine plays that aren't successful, I look at it and I go, what the hell? You know, and that's just, you know, I think that's been a part of Madden hell for the past 17 years. Anyway.
Yeah. Any final thoughts, TJ?
Nope. I think I'm good. Okay. It just looks like it's
Well, that was a real hot take,
some more Madden.
TJ.
Man. I mean, we can't get angry yet.
Yeah.
That's for later. When we get like real angry at the same stuff happening all the time. Everything's still new in that new, that new car smell on it still.
Yeah.
We'll tear it apart in about 3 weeks.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, first hours, first days, impressions with new games, you know, are often very different than how we'll feel in a few weeks and months. But, you know, that's all we have to go on for now. And it's definitely important that publishers get that release product right, and they've struggled at times with it. I think they've done pretty well here with Madden, and you know, Madden has probably the best track record for post-release support in all of sports gaming. So
that's true.
Yeah. So I anticipate things are going to get better from where we are. But we'll continue to, you know, follow that and see how it goes. And again, you know, next week, full panel, we're going to talk about everything in further detail about Madden NFL 17. Wanted to thank Rich Grisham, TJ Larriman, Owen Good. Thanks, guys, for coming on and talk about Madden now that we've got it and are putting some time into it. So, again, join us next week, and take care. Till then.